Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on a lot of things. On your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We appreciate you listening live or on the Sports Radio 810 WHB app and online at 810WHB.com. As, of course, you can listen to it on the podcast page anywhere that you get your podcasts. And now, guys, beautiful video streaming as well, because we all know that you've been demanding to see our beautiful faces on the Sporting Kansas City Show for years and years, and all it took was a global pandemic to see that beautiful curly set of hair that the Carter Augustine has going right now. As in my nice gray lettuce that's starting to grow on top a little bit longer than normal. Allie, you usually have long hair. I don't know, maybe this isn't an issue for you, the lack of available haircuts. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I usually go long without a haircut anyway. I've just been trying different hair tutorials because that's what you do when it's 6 o'clock and you're still at your house. So you just mess around with your hair.
Hair
so
tutorials.
That's what we're testing out new things today.
Carter, yeah, how many hair tutorials have you watched?
Well, as you noted, it's growing in pretty long and it's kind of weird in the front. And my dad said I should do a reverse mullet and call it a tellum. So that's where I'm at.
I get it.
Which, again, like exclusive SKC show content. Look at Carter's
party
reverse
in the front.
Mullet.
Yeah. Party in the front, baby. Tell them.
Well, that's good. That's better for the video conferencing that we're doing here today. And update on our decor. I decided to move to another room. So this time, instead of the scarf wall, I've got my very trusty Sporting Kansas City football helmet. That is one of a kind, thanks to my buddy Jerome from Riddell. It's even got the Sporting across the stripe there. So that's a prop.
Nice.
Also, different from Michael Parra's helmet.
Yeah, very.
Very.
Would have protected him. I tell you what, Max Rudy had kicked him in the head when he was wearing that thing. He would have, you know,
he would have been fine.
Taken to the hospital like that. And then I've also got, speaking of hard hats, I've got my USA hard hat. This was from when the groundbreaking at Pinnacle took place that I got to MC. And they let me take one of the hard hats. So those are my props for today. And nice. And Carter, you and I both rocking some jerseys. I know you recognize this one, don't you?
Oh yeah, look at that, Independiente.
Yeah, this is
nice.
Our trip down to La Chorrera in Panama, and I think you got one too, didn't you, Carter?
I wound up not getting one.
Oh, wow.
I know a couple of our crew did. Olivia and Jordan on the crew definitely did, and it's a big regret. I had worked out a deal with one of their guys to maybe do an exchange on the return leg, and it fell through. So pretty disheartening.
Yeah,
tried to go the cheap route.
Only jersey that I've only kit that I've ever seen that's produced by Everlast, typically boxing type gear. But for the La Chorrera, it was and I like the tiger stripes on the side too, which is appropriate for what everybody's binge watching apparently.
There you go.
These days as well.
I can't believe that show. I think like the most unsettling thing for me, and I haven't even gotten through the whole thing yet, is just that like I had no idea that this was going on in the world. Like absolutely no idea that this was a real string of operations happening across the country. Like I had no clue.
The idea that you could just buy a tiger for a couple grand, like from a guy in town.
Actually, what shocked me the most was that people pay $600 to go hold a baby tiger. Like I spend money on stupid stuff all the time. I've never spent $600 to take a photo with the tiger.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you might be running out of opportunities after this show kind of changed.
Yeah, they're about to shut all that down.
I got most shocking part to me was, and this is a spoiler alert, but the not so substantial percentage of the vote that he gets in some certain elections. People actually voted for the guy.
I'll tell you what, I challenge you to make a list of the 100 most shocking things that you'll see during that 7-part episode, and you'll
tough
have
to pare
a tough
it down.
Time.
Yeah.
Honestly, very well produced, though, that, like, at first you're starting to watch, and you're like, wow, what a character. Like, that is the weird, craziest person, craziest story, and then they're like, you know what? Just wait, because we're going to throw another layer and another layer. It just, like, never ends.
Yeah, it's not burying the lead in that case. They just build up to, like, the lead. It's just, if you thought that last episode was crazy, just keep watching. Meanwhile, what jersey are you rocking here, Carter?
Oh, I've got just a random Saint Etienne from France.
I think, you know, let's try to do this. You know, when we're doing those video things, we'll just try to take out a random jersey that we have of any story behind that one?
That's kind of it's a little insidey, little inside jokey, but I really like the crest and I like this one. But yeah, I'm with you. We've been me and our designer Nate Satzoff have been doing it on all of our weekly, daily Zooms for Sporting KC content and stuff like that. And it's a nice little Easter egg that he started. So let's keep it going.
Okay. And meanwhile, Allie's got the jersey in the background, sprucing up the decorations a little bit. Yep. Just had the scarf, the lonely scarf.
I was forgetting about different things that I had. Again, I was, getting some stuff done, flipped my closet over the weekend. And then I remembered whenever I coach Sporting Stripes, we have our jersey that we wear. So that is my Sporting Stripes coach jersey that I sadly won't get to wear for a little bit of time now that everything is on hold. So now here it hangs.
New Easter egg for the show. From now on, I want some sort of new, interesting sports memorabilia from Allie somewhere in the background that we're not going to call attention to. And we'll see if our audience can pick out what Allie has in store for us. What we have in store for you today on the show, I think, is going to be a really, really interesting conversation. Maybe the most important person. I don't know if you can quantify that, but easily one of the most important people who's been given a completely unique set of circumstances in the history of his job is Joey Hardy. He is Sporting Kansas City's. Now, make sure I got my different pieces of paper here that I get the job title right. Sporting Kansas City Director of Sports Performance and Science. And that means he's got to keep all these guys fit. And he obviously did an incredible job. You heard Peter Vermees talking a lot leading up to the season about this completely overhauled strength and training conditioning program that the players all did before the season. We saw him go out and just absolutely work teams off the field in the first two games because of their fitness level. So they were feeling really good about things. And now all of a sudden after that, you get this monkey wrench thrown in where not only do the guys not get to play, they don't get to train. They don't even get to come to the facility. And so he's got to organize all that. So we're going to talk with Joey Hardy about exactly how he is instituting a fitness program for players when, number one, you don't know when you're coming back. Number two, you can't get the guys together in a physical space. I think you're going to find that conversation very interesting. So that's coming up on the show. But before that, guys, we've got a few things to get to. For Sporting Kansas City and MLS, there is news out there, and there is content for you as a Sporting Kansas City fan that's jonesing for some soccer and jonesing for something to distract you from all this coronavirus stuff. We're here for you. We're working on this. Carter and Allie and I can tell you we're Zoom conferencing all over the place trying to plan some creative good stuff for you that I think you will find very enjoyable and entertaining as well. Including this show. Of course, we're doing this on video now, so you can watch it in addition to listening to it. But also, we had our first rebroadcast on Fox Sports Kansas City this past weekend, guys, and we did what we're calling the enhanced broadcast, where myself, Roger Espinosa, Matt Beasler, and Johnny Russell on Zoom watched the game back, the Houston Dynamo game, the last game Sporting Kansas City played before this stoppage, and we watched the whole game together. They gave their commentary. It was really fascinating. You can still go back and access that on YouTube channel and on Sporting Kansas City's Facebook page. I know you guys had a chance to watch it. I got to moderate it with the guys. I had the time of my life doing that. I mean, getting to sit there and watch the game with these guys that participated in it and really hear what they had to say about it, what their thoughts were on the game, was really a unique opportunity. We're going to do more of that. Carter, what did you think getting a chance to watch those guys do it?
That's cool, man. It's a good idea to help some of this downtime and to get some really unique perspective from the guys that actually played in the games. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it's always fascinating when you talk to a player and they share their perspective of watching a game, you know, while they're sidelined with an injury or they're out for whatever reason and how different the game looks. And I think, you know, kind of the same situation to be able to watch that game back, you know, kind of pretty soon after and really dissect it and break it down from their perspective, having played in it, is always fascinating. And I actually then went and watched the game again later, just the broadcast that you all did on Fox Sports KC, and then, you know, just hearing different things that they had said, watching it again that second time. So great idea, perfect people to do it, right? Johnny Russell, I mean, Roger and Bees, you know, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we're gonna be doing more of those things. I'll lay out a little bit of the schedule for you, but I direct you to go to sportingkc.com follow Sporting Kansas City on all the different social media channels, because you'll get the updates on when exactly these things will be broadcasting. But later this week, on Thursday night, we're going to re-air the Sporting Kansas City versus RSL playoff game, the second leg that Sporting Kansas City won to advance on to the conference finals. If you remember, that was a wild, wild affair at Children's Mercy Park. Sporting Kansas City ended up getting that no-look finish by Daniel Shallowy at the end that put them into the conference finals. Remember, that game was very touch and go for a while there, especially considering the away goal situation. So we're gonna that's going to play on Thursday night on social media platforms. And then on Friday, we're going to have LA Galaxy match highlights for you. And then on Saturday, the one of the first games of the season, that special 2018 season where Sporting got first in the West, when we started to really learn how great Felipe Gutierrez and Johnny Russell were going to be for this team, and Gerso as well, when they got that come-from-behind victory in Chicago on March 10th. Carter, you and I were there for that game. That was a wild one, and that was the little nutbag by Johnny Russell down the field at the end of the game. Felipe had a couple goals in that game. We're going to rebroadcast that on Fox Sports Kansas City on Saturday as well. That's going to be a fun one to go back and watch.
Yeah, that was my first away trip as a sideline reporter, and what a trip that was, and what a game. Yeah, just great, great game and great comeback. And you're right, it was kind of at the beginning of a wonderful season where we're just starting to learn about some of these guys that have now become household names at SKC.
Yeah, and what I remember most about that game was, you know, in the weeks afterwards, you know, Peter Vermees talked about that game a lot as being kind of not the turning point, but more so of just kind of the realization that, hey, this is what we have, and that was a great foundation to kind of build upon, and that they did. And, you know, again, a memorable 2018 season. But, yeah, what a game. That was, like, hands down one of my favorite games from 2018.
So, and I will just – not to direct people to other somebody else's podcast, but if you want some adult content rated recaps of the Chicago Fire side of that game, go ahead and listen to – Benny Failhaber's the BSI, the podcast with Sal and Ike, with Alan Gordon, because he will tell you a story of their head coach and what he said in the Chicago Fire locker room after that game to the team. And it's not anything I'm going to repeat here, but if you if you're up for some adult content in terms of the language that was used after that game, you might want to check that out before you watch the game on Saturday, because it's pretty entertaining. They, look, Sporting Kansas City yanked one away from Chicago at the end, but we got other games coming up, guys. We're going to re-air the LAFC game on Decision Day from 2018. That'll be next week. The game against the Houston Dynamo at home in 2018 as well, the following weekend. That was, of course, the one where Kyrie Shelton and Diego Rubio, then Shelton, both scored goals in the last 10 minutes of the game. Sporting, I think, was down 3-1 in that game, and they came back and won 4-3, if I remember.
Allie just highlighted that a couple weeks ago on the show.
Yeah, that was my, like, go-to game. But I can't remember. They either came back and won it. It was either 4-3 or 3-2. But either way, two late goals from Shelton and Rubio were the icing on the cake. And, yeah, that was a great game.
Yeah, 3-2, I think you're right.
Okay, also, guys, a news release coming out from Major League Soccer this week as well, and unveiling what they're calling MLS Unite. So I'm just going to read a little bit from the news release here, as we're still waiting to see when, you know, Major League Soccer is going to come back into action as the whole country's dealing with this coronavirus pandemic. The release says, Major League Soccer today unveiled MLS Unite's a league-wide platform that highlights all of the efforts that MLS players, coaches, clubs, and the league are doing to address the important messages and programs taking place during the COVID-19 pandemic. The new initiative was launched in partnership with the Major League Soccer Players Association. And look, it's a long release. There's a lot of stuff here, but there's some main topics that they're trying to get across here. They're trying to elevate, educate, and entertain all at the same time. So MLS Works is trying to, you know, basically elevate the community a little bit in terms of how they're doing their part and recognizing local community heroes. We're trying, you know, the message, you saw the video that went out by Sporting Kansas City players and a lot of other teams in the league, thanking our healthcare professionals and all the other people that are doing essential jobs for us to try to get us through this situation right now. They're trying to educate in terms of making sure to help spread the message that the CDC and Health Canada are trying to get out there about social distancing and all the things we as a community can do to try to get through this pandemic as quickly as possible and be responsible at it. We all want to get back to our daily lives. We want to get back to being able to congregate and watch sporting events and do the things we've always done as a community. So they're trying to educate and make sure everybody understands what the guidelines are, that we're all following them, that we're all doing our part and understanding that it's a community effort. We all have to do it, not just for ourselves, but for everybody else. And then entertain, you know, and I talked about the programming that we're putting out. Look, part of this whole situation is we need a release right now. People are getting inundated with what's going on in the world right now on a consistent basis. And every once in a while, you just need to get away from this stuff. And we want to be that for you. We want to give you that release. And MLS is doing that as well. They put out bullet points on every team in the league and what they're doing right now, guys, as a part of this community outreach program. So I'll get to the paragraph for Sporting Kansas City here. Pardon me as I'm flipping through my pages here. But so I'll just read Sporting Kansas City and the Kansas City Sports Commission are working with local professional sports teams to educate fans and spread awareness. Sporting KC is focused on supporting and amplifying the community efforts of the club's corporate partners, including Children's Mercy, who are providing free lunches for local children, Blue Cross and Blue Shield providing free online health and wellness resources for people in Kansas City, and Hallmark, who are providing 1 million free greeting cards for people in Kansas City as well. So first and foremost, a thanks to all the sponsors of Sporting Kansas City, our partners that are helping us try to do something positive in this community as well. But guys, look, for MLS, for Sporting Kansas City, look, this is all community-based. This is affecting the sports world as much as it is anybody else. So we're just trying to be a positive part of whatever solutions we can come up with right now.
Yeah, you know, I've been so impressed, and I'm sure a lot of cities across the country and around the world are doing things like we've seen in Kansas City. But I think it just makes you realize the local impact that, you know, a lot of these local businesses and even these bigger corporations like a Blue Cross, Blue Shield, like a Children's Mercy, these big organizations, and how they're really coming together to work with their partners. And just the impact that I've seen and the ripple effect that it's had has been really inspiring and honestly great, you know, motivation and kind of uplifting during a time where it's really easy to get down about things. So, you know, kudos to everyone involved. And, you know, I've just been loving all the content Sporting's been putting out and the ways that the players have even, you know, just on social media or, you know, through Sporting Kansas City, kind of helped try and lift the spirits of the fan base and the community as well.
Yeah, really well said. And I think, you know, it's a good sign because we'll probably have to lean on each other even more in the coming weeks. You know, and you think about economically, I think it was released today. It's the worst quarter since before I was born. And so, you know, it's like you said, Allie, there's some people doing some really great things out there. Jay Rieger, what they were doing in KC, and another partner.
Yeah. Hand sanitizers.
There's some cool initiatives, and it is really heartening to see people lifting each other up in what has been a just crazy, unique time.
And it brings me back a little bit too to what Peter Vermees said when we interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, in that when soccer does come back, you know, the responsibility of, you know, the role that the players will play in helping, you know, kind of turn the page for everybody moving forward and moving on from this time, and how exciting it really will be when soccer returns. And, you know, that kind of personal responsibility that the players and the team will feel to kind of, you know, hit the ground running again. And I know they're all excited to get back on the field, but, you know, we're all just as excited to watch them. So, you know, we at least do have those kind of things to look forward to.
Yeah. So on that note, we're going to move on to one other thing we're starting to do on the Sporting Kansas City show, which might give you a little time to entertain yourself with goals to Google. This was from Carter Augustine, his idea, graphic that flies across the screen, hashtag goals to Google. But we're coming up with goals that you can look up and maybe take a look at and enjoy, because there might be some that you haven't seen before. And so let's start with you, Carter. What do you have for us this week?
I've got one that you may have seen. I know Roger started us off with three of the most famous goals of all time last week, so maybe this is another one that you have seen. Papi Cisse playing for Newcastle against Chelsea. I think it was 2012, maybe 2013. But just it's really, really difficult to do it justice with words. Look it up, Papi Cisse for Newcastle against Chelsea. basically ball comes in from a throw, gets chested down to him, and it's right along the sideline, and he hits it with the outside of his foot, and there's just, he's got no business scoring from this place on the field. It's sensational.
All right, we'll have to take a look at that one. Allie, what do you have for us this week?
All right, Nate, you might want to close your ears because this is an Arsenal versus Tottenham goal 2008 matchup.
Wow.
They ended up tying the game 4-4. It was a very high scoring game, but Arsenal had the victory up until the final minutes of the game. And that is when Tottenham's Aaron Lennon, he tied it in the literally final minute, if not final seconds of this game. One of the Tottenham players strikes it from distance. Arsenal players kind of let him get through the mix, and the ball bounces, ricochets off the post, comes back a little bit outside the box, and Lennon just blasts it one touch right past the keeper. And I will say Arsenal's goalie had an absolutely horrific match. NBC Sports was premiering a lot of like Premier League highlights over the weekend on Saturday. And so that's kind of when I saw it, and I was like, okay, that's my goal to Google. As you know, Nate, Tom is also an Arsenal fan. He was like, don't use that one. I'm like, I'm using it. So that was my goal to Google. I think if you just look up Aaron Lennon, 4-4 2008 Tottenham versus Arsenal, but I will post the link because I have it. So
I will not be looking that one up. And I mean, to go not only
it was a great game, though,
against Arsenal, but in the North London Derby is just, yeah, it's outrageous. Wow. Unbelievable. Just,
I love it.
Just,
it was great. It was not maybe the best goal, but just like a very crazy, like the circumstances of, from which it occurred were, yeah, kind of wild.
Okay, so I'm going to go to something that cheers me up a little bit more. And this was my favorite goal I've ever seen in the Old Firm Derby, Celtic versus Rangers. There was a Japanese player by the name of Shunsuke Nakamura who scored a goal in the Old Firm Derby in 2012. This was in May of 2012. And he takes a strike in the center of the park from about 30 yards away and kind of slashes through it with the outside of his foot. And the spinning action on it looks like a frisbee tailing away from one side to the other, beats the goalkeeper, kisses the badge, runs to the fans. And that was right about the time that I was really starting to come to full understanding of what Celtic versus Rangers really was all about. And so that goal, I'm trying to pick one that maybe nobody's seen around here, Carter, as you're talking about. Let's try to come up with something that maybe you haven't seen before. So, but if you just type in,
I haven't seen that one.
And I'll send the link.
Yeah, to the guy either.
Yeah, if you just type in Nakamura versus Celtics. So it's like Nagamura, like Paulo Nagamura, but it's Nakamura with a K. He was a fantastic player in his time for Celtic. He was a real fan favorite there. And they won that game 2-1, and that goal was just incredible. So that's my goal to Google for this week. All right, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, Joey Hardy's going to join us. You will want to hear this interview. This is going to be some really interesting stuff and give you a perspective on just how much goes into his job, especially in a situation that's as unprecedented as this. You're constantly trying to write up new game plans for strength and fitness for your team when you don't know the rules. I mean, they're, you know, each week something new comes out. So we're going to talk with Joey Hardy next. That's right after this. The Sporting Kansas City Show is underway. All right, welcome back to the Sporting Kansas City Show. Of course, so this is on multi-platforms now, on your home for Sporting Kansas City Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. You can watch it on apparently all sorts of video streaming platforms these days, as well as we've got the Brady Bunch effect going, for those of you that are old enough to know what that even means, with Carter Augustine, Allie Trost, and now joined by Joey Hardy. You can listen on podcasts. We're going to have it up on all the different podcast platforms, and now video as well, as we're in this brave new world. And we are joined now by, I'm going to make sure I get the title right here. I've got my printed out homework here. Joey Hardy, Sporting Kansas City Director of Sports Performance and Science. Did I get all that right? Did I leave anything out, Joey?
No, you're good.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Yeah, no, I always laugh when that title stated. It was one that I inherited, and Peter always makes fun of it. You know, we got science on the end of it. I don't think anyone, including myself, really understands what the science portion is necessarily referring to, but he's always asking me more, where my lab coat is and you know, where the lab is. It's just, it's pretty funny, but no, things are going well. I think just like the rest of all you guys and everyone listening, our world's a little bit upside down right now and just trying to find what a new routine is. And that's what we're trying to do for the players right now, is just add some normalcy to their lives. So there's no good answer to kind of how we're managing this from a day to day with scheduling, with, you got the academy, you got USL. Those are part of the properties that I'm in charge of overseeing and thinking about kind of helping those coaches along and what they're communicating to the parents, to the players. So there's a lot that goes into it. But I think overall, in all my conversations with, all the guys, both staff, as well as the players, everyone's got a pretty good mindset right now. I'm pretty much just on FaceTime or Zoom, at least honestly 6 hours a day to some capacity, checking up on guys, getting them whatever they need. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now.
And now you're on Zoom with us. So
exactly. Yeah. Thanks for that.
We actually just had you on to give us some workout tips. Yeah. How do we stay
perfect. Right now? You and everybody else.
So about the science part now, you do have a degree in kinesiology and exercise science. Now I never missed the opportunity to mention that my wife is a physical therapist.
Yep.
She told me that exercise science is far more difficult than the name of the coursework would indicate. Like, it's not just like a PE class thing. She said, look, from biology to chemistry and all that, exercise science was some very difficult coursework. Is that true to form?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think with any college curriculum, you can get out of it whatever you put into it. You know, there's plenty of people out there with PhDs, master's degrees, whatever it is. I don't look at the education as necessarily being an indicator of what the person knows, but even when we're hiring staff, there's honestly pretty minimum qualifications in terms of what they have to have besides what's mandated from the league. I'm usually just looking at the experiences that people have, just kind of postgraduate, what internships that they've had. The coursework's good. It gives the foundation, and it's always evolving. I'm always diving into, different ways that we can understand the human body, both myself and our staff. We actually just had a little bit of a get together with all medical staff and all performance staff in the club, where we were just listening to seminars all day together. And then we spent about 5 hours the next day just dissecting that, going through anything from training methodology, from a tactical and technical perspective, to biomechanics related to joint and soft tissue injuries, to resistance training methods, and just trying to discuss with each other how we can apply that. And currently what we're doing now in this COVID-19 epidemic, as well as, hopefully sooner than later when we return and start helping the athletes out on more of a consistent basis.
Joey, as you are trying to come up with these different regimens for the players, as you're adjusting constantly with new updates as far as when the season is projected to start, what's been the biggest challenge and what are you guys trying hardest to prevent in keeping the players healthy and fit so that when they come back, there aren't any injuries that pop up or anything that comes as a result of extra fatigue?
Yeah, I think it would probably help to give a little bit of background. Everyone probably thinks, looking on the outside, that maybe we had more answers than anyone else did. But we found out maybe on that Tuesday or Wednesday before our Atlanta game, which I think was maybe the 14th of March, that our San Jose game, the upcoming weekend, was canceled. So at that point we were kind of skeptical that Atlanta was even going to happen. But we were, obviously trying to help the players stay on track. We had our chief medical officer, Dr. Erickson, come in and give us a talk just on cleanliness, sanitation strategies, how to keep everyone start to social distancing even more than we already were on track for Atlanta. And then the Thursday before Atlanta, we got the notification that obviously the game was going to be canceled. So at that point, I sat down with Peter and the rest of the coaching staff, and we put together what we thought was going to be the plan moving forward, with the assumption that we were going to still be allowed to train. So that was a whole 30-day plan with what that training moratorium was going to be. Plan it all out. We were going to do a scrimmage with our USL side, two full 90 minutes that Saturday. And then I got a call from Peter Thursday night and said, hey, just so you know, moratorium's extended through Sunday. We're scratching all of this. So I said, okay. What do you want to do? He said, well, let's get together tomorrow and let's plan out a worst case scenario. If we're not allowed to start training, which we had already put that plan in place, what would we do if it was group workouts? So we spent another 5 hours that Friday, put together a plan to where we'd be bringing players into the facility Monday, Wednesday, Friday, no more than three players coming at any period of time separated by 30 to 45 minutes. And we were going to have each of those three players in three separate stations. So basically one player starts on a turf field, one starts on a grass field, one starts in the weight room, and they would cycle three using three separate locker rooms. So we thought, you know, this is foolproof, great plan. Guys are safe, number one priority, but we're also able to, you know, have a plan that's consistent for whatever period of time. And then MLS followed up and said, nope, we're not doing any of the individual workouts. And so they extended that moratorium for 1 week. And at that point, the tough part is whenever you're planning for anything, whether it's, you know, a week cycle leading up to a game, whether it's preseason, whether it's off season, you're always working back from something. You know, you're working back from the start of preseason, you're working back from the first game of the year, and then each week you're working back from what the prior game was to what the upcoming game is. So at that point, that whole first week of the training moratorium, we didn't really know what we were expecting. We were still hoping that we were going to have maybe group workouts that following week. So I basically gave you guys a plan that, in my mind, replicated to the best of our ability what the demands would have been in training, obviously with limited resources, you know, going to a park, going to a field, whatever it may be, stuff that they could do at their house. And then here we are now close to 3 weeks in, and we're still on a training moratorium. And I think we're all expecting this to last a lot longer than anyone even knows. So at this point, it's become a lot more intentional and individualized in what we're trying to do. And everyone's out there on social media, all sports teams are releasing articles by what they're, maybe their physical coach, their medical staff, what they're saying their players are trying to do to retain all of their physical qualities, to not lose, you know, the base of fitness that we've all just developed throughout preseason. And I don't think anyone has the answer. So I would be lying if I said, you know, here's the magic recipe for what we're trying to do, because ultimately, it's a lot more complicated than that. You have a lot of players who, you have to think about it, like a Gadi Kinda, an Alan Pulido. These guys just moved here, went to preseason for 5 weeks, got back, traveled to Vancouver, played one game. They've been in the city for, you know, at most 2 weeks, and now they're stuck at home. So to ask them to be going to parks, to run on the streets, you know, it's a little bit tough, and they're a little bit out of their element, just, you know, trying to figure out what life looks like in Kansas City anyways. So you got to factor in just the emotional, the psychological state of where these guys are. And that's where the benefit of just having a good relationship and trying to build on that. So myself and the rest of the team has been diligently following up with guys with FaceTime, Zoom meetings. And once we got a gauge that this was going to last a little bit longer, we had to think of something that was going to be sustainable for these guys, no matter how long it was going to be. And so what we did is I organized, and honestly, it was a great gift from Children's Mercy, because for those of you who do not know, we share a facility with Children's Mercy Hospital and their physical therapy clinic. And they actually own all the gym equipment with the agreement that we have with them. And they were generous enough to let us lend all that equipment out to all the players. So one thing that we did was make sure, I don't want to say priority players, but priority in the sense of guys that might have lingering injuries. You know, if a guy has a bad knee, a bad hip, the last thing we want him to do is be running on concrete 5 days a week. So those types of players and some of our veteran guys, we lent out bikes to, a total of 12, a couple rowing machines, made sure every guy had dumbbells, kettlebells, bands, enough that they can do a variety of workouts that we give them. And then I just lean honestly on a lot of the veteran guys. And so we transitioned from where your guys' conversation was even with Roger last week and just the workouts that he was doing and all his runs, to now making it even more intentional and keeping the group together. And so we're actually doing twice a week team workouts, where actually I had three groups this morning, each hour long on Zoom, where every single player was in one of those three groups. And we went through an hour long workout. And you know, there's the biggest thing that you're going to miss if you're not playing soccer and when you're coming in is a lot of your high intensity work, you know, your speed, your power, and being able to do that repeated over the course of 90 minutes is where the art comes in. You know, you start actually taking the science and trying to apply it to the game of soccer. You're going to lose some of that. It's just natural. You know, the guys, some guys can go to field, some guys can't. So we have to be treating them, you know, really as individuals and not so much just as a group. So we get them all on, and all these guys are also more sedentary. They're sitting around more than they've ever done in their life. You know, they're watching TV with their kids, playing video games, trying to go out for walks. But besides that, I mean, just like all you guys, I mean, your back's probably hurting a little bit, hips are getting a little bit tight, neck's sore from looking at
the screen
all day long. I mean, it's similar stuff that we're all dealing with. And so I'm just trying to get these guys together and guarantee that they're moving and that they're seeing each other twice a week. And I think that's big from a psychological standpoint, that they can kind of get on and, you know, make fun of each other a little bit, have some fun with it. But, you know, ultimately just trying to keep the camaraderie there as well as the physical aspect is, I think, really important during this time.
I'm curious about these Zoom meetings. Obviously, yeah, I want to know more about the shenanigans that go on. But for you, you know, what's it like being a virtual, you know, instructor to these guys, telling them how to do what they need to do, whereas you're usually pretty hands-on and person to person?
Yeah, I think it's different with every single player. And again, you know, to put it in perspective, I did a Zoom meeting with every single player on Sunday night. We had the whole team on Zoom for about 30 minutes, just checked in on everyone, how are we doing, as a follow-up to all my individual conversations with them. And then ultimately now it's trying to bring in other people. So your Beaslers, your Zusis, Espinoza, Illy, Johnny, some of these veteran guys that a lot of people in the locker room look up to, trying to also delegate to them and saying, hey, here's the plan, but I also need you guys to follow up with these 4 to 6 players. Because ultimately, if I'm out there hounding on each guy every single day, they're going to get sick of me. So if I can have their teammates have a little bit of accountability, it's going to help out. But from the coaching standpoint, it's different. I mean, just like we're talking here is what I was doing with the guys. And, you know, I had my living room set up, which is also tough because my wife's working from home. So she's on the phone in the other room. I'm sitting here. I got a yoga mat out on the floor, a chair, a dumbbell. My dog's barking outside. But I think just having that openness and that level of, you know, reality to what my situation is also good for the guys because, you know, Beasler's kids are running downstairs. You know, Tim's pretty much on full-time daddy daycare right now, so we're having to work with him to find an appropriate time. So it's really about the relationship and how much you can communicate effectively with these guys.
Yeah, you guys actually might hear the echoing of piano lessons that'll be taking place at some point on the iPad with my kids upstairs. Nice. While this is going on. So yeah, it's
right. I can't wait.
We all have the Nat sound going on in the house right now. And we got Joey Hardy here with us, and he's got the unique challenge of trying to keep a team fit during something I'm pretty sure you probably didn't study for in college, right? Like I'm guessing they didn't give you coursework on this is what you do when a pandemic breaks out and you can't actually get face to face with any of your players.
Yeah, exactly. No, and it that's the tough part. I'm working on a project right now with a buddy of mine who also works in the league. I'm putting together a chapter for preseason training in soccer. And I messaged him and I told him, I said, hey, can we add a section on COVID-19 epidemic? Pandemic, because this is absolutely insane. And, you know, your schedule actually for us has been tougher, you know, because before you have a certain amount of time where you're going and you're working with the guys, everyone shows up. But now it's 6 to 8 hours calling guys, making sure they're doing the workouts. And that's why we switched to more of this virtual team workouts, is because it's tough to know what each guy's doing because all the communication's all over the place.
Well, Joey, so, I found it really interesting. I read an article in the Star that wrote, you know, kind of a little bit about what we're talking about here. And you said that between yourself and Vermees, that you both estimate that it will require 3 or 4 weeks of practice before MLS teams are physically ready for games. How did you guys come up with that estimation?
Honestly, if I'm being completely honest, I don't think that there's any specific answer. Just like you said, Nate, there's nothing in school or textbook that's going to tell you if you build up a sustainable base of fitness and then you take X amount of time off, how long will it be that you can retain that and then build back up. So I'm looking at it from perspective of what we're actually doing with the guys. And if we can maintain a certain level of high intensity conditioning throughout this period, then that will maintain the foundational base that they built from aerobic capacity, which is any of your long duration, continuous type work, which is higher volume. If we can add in those doses of intensity a couple times a week, as well as just keeping up some of the structural tolerance to the joints and the ligaments through some of our plyometrics, some of our deceleration drills, that type of thing. Adding a little bit more duration to some of our strength exercises. just to keep those tendons happy. It's a big thing for them. I think that's where we'll be able to start getting these guys back to where we want them to be. But again, it's health and safety is number one priority for everyone. So as much as I want to say, you know, maybe we could do 2 weeks and all of our guys twice a week are able to go to a soccer field, that they're not getting kicked off, that the league allows at our facility, that they're able to social distance, then maybe we'd be in a better place. But like I said, for instance, Alan Pulido is a great example. He went running the other day and got swarmed with people. You know, these guys, they're famous, you know? So it's not as easy as just saying, hey, go out to this field. And I drove by Shawnee Mission East 2 days ago because the gates are unlocked, but it's one field. You got to track around it. And there's probably 25, 30 people out there. So wow. Some of the optimal stuff that you might learn in the textbooks, you know, there's general guidelines as far as retention of physical qualities that you can follow. And essentially what it says is, you know, your strength, endurance, your aerobic capacity, that type of stuff, you can maintain pretty well for 20 to 30 days. And, you know, meaning that if you're not, say you got aerobic capacity, not saying that you don't do anything for 4 weeks and then you're going to be just as fit. But if you're doing other stuff, that base is going to kind of follow with you and you don't have to train it 3, 4, 5 times a week. But again, your speed and power, you might lose that within a week, you know, from where you were, if you're not training that within that week and the subsequent week and so on and so forth. So at that point, you're just trying to make the most of where the guys are. And each guy's different. You know, some guys can go to the fields and meet that optimal scenario. Some guys can't.
So one of the things I always notice, I'm blown away by when I go to training on a during normal circumstances, and a lot of times we get the question from fans, why does it look like the guys are all wearing sports bras, right? Like, I'm sure you get that question all the time. And yeah. I know it's because they're wearing those monitors and you guys track, it seems like a million different things every day in training with those guys. And you have an instant feedback on how close to the guy's maximum heart rate did he get to and how often, how much ground did he cover, all those things. Do the guys have heart rate monitors with them now? Can you keep track of all that stuff, or are you just having to do this all the old-fashioned way, which is like trust that they're doing the work and what you can see with your own eyes when you're doing Zoom?
Yeah, you know, we explored all those options. You know, we have heart rate monitors to give the guys, but ultimately you got to think more rudimentary of what are the guys going to do and what is best for them psychologically right now. And so we took a little bit of a different approach because we are so technology driven on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, the guys experience that, you know, during the normal weeks, we do urine tests once a week. We have the guys weigh in before and after every single training session. We wear trackers that are assessing GPS, accelerometry data, changes of direction, impacts. We measure heart rate. We do movement analysis every week with groin isometric testing, jump tests on force plates. So the guys experience that all the time. But ultimately, that's because they're in an environment where it's kind of just shuttling them through. You know, at this time, you got to be here and you got to do this. And so now you got a lot of guys who don't have any schedule in the north when they're normally used to having a schedule. So we took more of the approach where how can we make sure that these guys are doing what we're asking them to do for whatever this period is, and not trying to get ahead of ourselves and thinking that, you know, who knows, we're going to play a game on May 11th, or is this going to be middle of June, mm-hmm. or is it going to be August? You know, I don't think anyone really knows. There's so much new information that's coming out to the public, but also to us as well on a daily basis. So what I transitioned to is the first week I gave the guys who didn't have Garmin watches. And so basically it's pretty easy. You just press start, goes to your running component or your biking component. It'll track your distance, your calories burned, average heart rate, max heart rate, recovery heart rate. And then the guys that didn't have that, we made sure that they at least had Apple watches. So it wasn't necessarily at the expense of the club, but just making sure everyone had something that they could track general caloric expenditure, general heart rate variables, and general total distance. Then once we realized this was going to last a little bit longer, that's when we transitioned to, okay, let's do 2 workouts where I know exactly what every single guy are doing every week where we're together. And then once a week, let's do a competition run that we're going to track distance, the heart rate, the caloric expenditure, and everyone reports their times. So now you're getting 3 days of the week, which is pretty good. And I think better than a lot of teams can say that they have on their players right now is understanding 3 actual days what you guys are doing every single day. So that's kind of the approach we took, and then just trying to effectively communicate. If they can do that, great.
Is there any added frustration, Joey, with how well you guys started the season in terms of those first 2 games pressing all over the place and looked like the guys were in great shape after preseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. I've talked to a lot of different guys around the league trying to, you know, pick people's brains, see what other people are doing and get ideas. And, you know, some teams are actually not too bummed about having a chance to restart. You know, for us, obviously, we came out, we feel very confident in the preseason that we put together. The guys felt very fit. The guys were clicking on all cylinders, starting to build some chemistry in front of the box. The back line was solid. So to be able to have to take a break when you're feeling like that, it's tough. And that's also one of the reasons why we just want to keep the group together as much as possible, because when you come into preseason, you're doing assessments and all the guys are kind of looking around trying to figure out what each person has done in the offseason. You know, you're hoping that all of your teammates have done as much work as you have. And when you come through preseason, putting in the amount of work that we did, the amount of sessions that we did, which I know you guys saw, they feel good about that. And they look around, they see the guy next to them, and they said, you know, we did this together. So right now we're trying to provide a platform for them where they can mentally believe that they're still in this together. So that when we come through it, you know, physiologically aside, psychology is really important right now. It's helping them understand, you know, we're still working together on a weekly basis. And we're not thinking about what the end is going to be. We're just focusing on this week. Then we're going to focus on next week, and we're going to keep that going because that's what we have control over.
This is some fascinating stuff with Joey Hardy. We're going to take a break real quick. We could keep talking about this for a while, but I want us to get to know Joey a little bit better. Some background stuff on the Sporting Kansas City Director of Sports Performance and Science. We'll do that right after this on the Sporting Kansas City Show. We're back on the Sporting Kansas City Show. We got our special guest, Joey Hardy, Sporting Kansas City's Director of Sports Performance and Science, even though he doesn't have a lab coat today. And we just spent the last segment talking about all the things, or some of the things, that he's got to consider and work on during this this downtime, I guess you call it, for Sporting Kansas City and for all the rest of us, this time of social isolation, I should call it. And now we're going to spend some time getting to know Joey a little bit. And the first thing I have to do is be highly critical of your lack of sporting themed decorations behind you, Joey.
I know, I missed the memo.
I've got my sporting helmet here. Carter's got the flags and soccer balls behind him. Allie went to the trouble of hanging a jersey and a scarf haphazardly on the wall behind her. So next
there time- are so many pinprick holes in my wall. Like, I'm not kidding.
I believe
I'm not getting
it.
Any of my security deposit back. There's no way.
Well, you have to understand that with preseason and all that, my wife had a pretty long honey-do DIY list for me. So all the pictures in our wall that were in one place last week, they're in a new place this week. And so everything's all over the place right now.
We'll forgive it as long as you keep the guys in shape. Yeah.
Minimalist right
there
now.
There you go.
Great.
There you go.
Yes.
Exactly.
Very.
All right. So let's get a little background, Joey. First of all, and I know you went to Grand Canyon. I've talked to you about that in Arizona. You worked at Phoenix Rising. Are you where? Tell us where you're originally from and what led you to Grand Canyon. And I guess we'll start from there.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Northern Colorado, Fort Collins to be exact. Born and raised there, high school, played club soccer in that area for most of my life. And then I transitioned and started traveling to Denver to play for a team just in the greater Denver area for a couple years towards the end of high school. And a coach there had a contact with a small Division II program in Phoenix, Arizona, Grand Canyon University. And so I went down there and ended up being able to go there and play soccer. So I played soccer down there for 3 years. And, you know, I think everyone who is in the sports performance industry has some sappy story about maybe they had some crazy injury and through the rehab process, they fell in love with the training process. And that's why they're a strength coach now. But I just love training, you know, and so even when I was in high school, I worked at an indoor soccer facility And while working at the indoor soccer facility, there was a guy who owned a gym there. So when I was a freshman in high school, I was just fascinated by what he was doing and actually asked him if he would start training, you know, speed, agility, acceleration, strength movement, circuits, whatever it may be, a little bit of everything. We were working on that. And by my junior year in high school, being able to kind of work alongside him or have him train me, I was able to start unofficially interning for him, if you will. So I was cleaning the facility at nighttime and he would say, hey, can you come help lead this warm up for me? You know, and so there was just little bits of that. But by the time I actually went to Grand Canyon, I didn't know what the degree was. I just remember sitting down with my initial consult with my guidance counselor. And I just said, I want to do something that's involved with athletic training. And myself not knowing much back then was, they were like, okay, well, here's an athletic training degree. Why don't you do that? And for those of you who don't know, an athletic training degree is much more on the medical side than the performance side. So I quickly, you know, once I got through all my general ed classes, started getting into the curriculum for that, which is great because a lot of the classes are similar. But then after that, you start to realize it's like, well, I don't really want to spend my time caring for guys when they're injured. I want to try to prevent them from getting injured. And I want to help them increase their performance on the field. So I transitioned more to a little bit of a kinesiology degree. So that's kind of, I guess, long story short of how I ended up from Colorado to Arizona.
What I've always wondered, just with, you know, the field that you're in and seeing so many different players at so many different stages of their career, you talked a lot earlier about that individual, you know, kind of regimen for each person because every individual is different. And the same goes with injury. And while you didn't want to work specifically on the injury side, with players coming back from injury throughout your entire career, what has been the hardest player return from injury and in helping develop a training regimen for them to get back? Was it a player with Sporting Kansas City or earlier in your career? I've always just wondered, like, what's been the hardest one that you've ever had at work back from injury?
Yeah, I would say, you know, we had a player at Sporting a couple years ago. Well, he's still here, but he had an injury a couple years ago. Osteitis pubis, where it's kind of a garbage term for sports hernia, basically just dealing with, without getting specifics, a lot of pain in his groin area, is at lower abdomen. And with soccer being a very ballistic type kicking sport, it's a very tough injury to get a guy to return to sport from. So usually when you're looking at a guy, and no matter what, I should scale that back. We have a great relationship with our medical staff and that whole department. We actually refer to ourselves as a performance medical department instead of two separate entities. And so usually when we're working through that process, you know, I know that whenever a player comes to myself or someone on my staff, that the player is able to do all low intensity movements pain-free. You know, so basically one of our criteria is, can the player jog for, say, 2 times 10 minutes? Okay, great. He can do that. And the next day he has no residual effects from that. That's a positive sign. Can the player move unloaded with low velocity in all planes of movement? Can he forward lunge, side lunge, bodyweight squat, step up, you know, non-ballistic activities? Great. So now when I get a player, it's saying, okay, I know that I can start to do a general movement warm up with this guy and he should have no pain with it. And then it's up to our department to start to get that player up to full capacity. So not so much return to play or return to health, but actual return to sport. And you start to build that player up and it really trying to factor in, you know, is it a hamstring injury and the guy's only been out, you know, 7 days, 10 days? Has it been, you know, a grade 2, grade 3, and he's been out for more than 3 weeks? Then you have to factor in the duration of that time. But if they've only been out 7 days, you know, maybe I can assess the guy for a couple of days and then get him back into what we want to see. But in the case of this player, he had been out for a majority of the season, and we actually, it got pretty bad throughout preseason. And so we had to scale everything back. Ended up basically working with that player for about 3 months. And it was just every time that you reintroduce the ball, every time that you reintroduce high speed running, the next day he was just lit up. You know, he just said anything, like, you think about the pain, if you're laying in bed and you sit up, that type of pain for him was just excruciating. And so we really just had to take it a step back, where we were introducing load followed by 2 days off, introducing load followed by 2 days off. Okay, well, can we introduce load followed by 1 day off? Can we do 2 days of load followed by 1 day off? You know, and start to progress that to where typically our guys have to be able to handle full capacity. Sometimes, you know, they don't have a full day off for up to 14 days. You know, now some days are more recovery based and all that. But yeah, I would say that's a little bit of insight into our process. And that, that just being the sport of soccer, that's a really tough injury to get a guy to come back to, because maybe if it was that injury and he was a cross country runner or even a track and field athlete, it might be a little bit different. But due to our nature and the varied demands that they're exposed to, it's quite challenging.
Wow.
What type of player were you, Joey?
Slow. hardworking, you know, unbelievable around the box. You know, I always grew up playing either center back or holding mid. I could run for days. So that was always my strength. And it suits me well, because whenever we're doing, you know, conditioning activities with the guys, if it's, you know, 4-minute runs, 6-minute runs, I can hold my own for that stuff. But I make sure that I don't let on to why I don't participate in our full field stride outs or our short sprints, because then I'd really be exposed. So yeah. Well, no, then in college, I was more of an outside back, which we didn't have a system like Sporting's, or else I would not have been able to do that with, I mean, Zusi, Luis, Kyrie, Johnny, those guys are fastest guys on the team.
Yep. I was just curious, was soccer kind of where you always envisioned yourself as well, you know, post playing career, but once you got into this stage of your life, is it, you want to help in any sport, or is it always kind of been soccer has been the main goal?
Yeah, I feel like people ask me that all the time. I love training athletes, you know, and I don't refer to athletes as people who play a certain sport. People who just want to be general healthy movers in life. You know, I think athletic movements are just very efficient patterns that people are able to do on a day-to-day basis, you know? And so if you're regressing it from squatting, lunging, deadlifting, jogging, whatever it may be, I enjoy helping people be able to accomplish those tasks, especially when people don't believe they can do that. Now, what I'm doing currently, obviously, is, I'd say, a dream come true. Growing up playing soccer, soccer was always the love of my life. I mean, I lived it every day as an athlete, you know, growing up, as many of our fans do, you know, playing for Sporting Blue Valley, Sporting Lee Summit, whoever it is, you know, these aspirations to think that we want to be professional athletes. I'd say the pathways are much more developed now, which is so awesome to see. You know, we're always running clinics with the Sporting Academy and the network that we have to try and give kids that opportunity that maybe I wish I would have had, not to say that would have changed anything. But so much so, I never really envisioned necessarily that I'd be able to have the role that I do, or necessarily specifically in the sport that I love so much, you know. And I know plenty of guys who work in soccer who maybe never played soccer, and not to say that you have to have played the sport, because the human body is the human body. It definitely gives me a unique advantage to be able to communicate with the coaching staff and the players in a way that someone who doesn't understand the culture of soccer the way that I do. So I'm thankful for that. And when I finished my time at Grand Canyon, I actually only played there for 3 years because I wasn't being very successful. I wasn't, you know, a consistent starter. I was just, you know, I was kind of itching. I was very driven in my training, but also in my education. So being able to be lent an opportunity from the school to then move into a role where I was actually, what would have been my senior year, I was working with the soccer team in the weight room, and I was assisting them in building a relationship that I already had with the coach and the strength conditioning coach. And it was actually really beneficial because our coach liked me to come in and be that bridge of what our traditional college strength conditioning coach was maybe more football dominant. And that's just, I would say, probably a bad rap. I don't want to say that that's typical college strength conditioning, but at least in the sport of soccer, you got a lot of coaches who feel like soccer is a special sport. In reality, it's just being able to communicate the right way. So yeah, being able to then move into a role from playing soccer to then immediately working with my peers was awesome. So it's kind of a cool experience.
All right. So the only things that I really know about Grand Canyon University is that it's one of the only for-profit schools in the country that has athletics and a Division I in certain sports.
Yep.
And I know that Thunder Dan Marley, one of the legends of the Phoenix Suns from my childhood, I even had the T-shirt that had all the caricatures of the different stars, Charles Barkley, I think it's Kevin Johnson, and Thunder Dan Marley were on the shirt. He was the head coach for, I don't know if he still is, at Grand Canyon.
I believe so.
Did you ever – Did you ever come across Thunder Dan in your time there?
I did, yeah. So part of one of the things that I was involved in a couple different committees while I was at Grand Canyon, and one of the committees was actually initiating the startup of their student section. So I don't know if you guys have ever seen, like, on ESPN right now, Grand Canyon's student section for their basketball games. I mean, it's a known thing. I mean, similar to Cameron Crazy's at Duke University, it's becoming quite the hot commodity. And so I can actually take a little bit of credit that I was upon the committee that actually started that.
Okay, what kind of fan were you?
Yeah,
were you chest painted, sports bra, like?
No, I wish I could say I was. I was always a little bit more reserved in that sense. So, you know, I would organize, you know, send out the flyers. We got paid for this committee, so it was kind of a cool deal. But I mean, that's not really my deal, is being all rah-rah unless it's within more of your close-knit of guys.
Yeah.
So what about your workout? Cool. What's your go-to workout? I don't know. You said that you've always loved training. Has your favorite workout changed over the years? When you are deciding to, like, go out, you know, get fit, work out, do your thing, what's your go-to?
Yeah, I mean, I got a pretty cool setup in my garage. I got a bunch of dumbbells and bands and really anything that I need. I got a hill right out the street, so I can do a bunch of hill sprints. My dog loves to go on long runs. But I would say I really do try to do my best that with any training program that I'm doing on any consistent basis of time is something that I'm trying to experience, you know? So there's always new stuff that's coming out for your athletes and different ways to train. And so I'm not married to any one training philosophy. I just try to expose myself to what maybe might be beneficial for one of our athletes to go through. You know, last thing I want to do is have someone like, you know, I'm so sore from this. And as soon as you can say, well, I just did that too, and it's okay, you know, I feel all right, then they start to be like, okay, well, you know, they have a little bit more respect for you. But any sort of circuit or more endurance-based activity, whether it's with weights or not, I would say is something that I'm better at. And so it's easy to do things that you feel better at, so you're not as ashamed. You know what I mean?
So I get that. Yeah.
I feel like most guys in your line of work, when you talk to, it's like, I never eat fast food. I don't allow myself to have, you know, any ice cream. You make the rest of us feel, you know, pretty bad about ourselves if we splurge on our diet at all. Are you one of those guys? Are you super focused on eating healthy at all times?
I go as cliche as it is, what I preach to the athletes, it's 80-20. So okay. I really try to do our best 80% of the time, you know, with our meals. My wife and I keep it simple. You know, we just focus on eating, you know, clean proteins, meat, clean veggies, carbs, rice, different starches, you know, eating from the ground. If you know anything about paleo, probably a little bit more paleo-esque in the diet. And then, you know, no shame if you want to have a beer on a Friday night or, you know, get dessert a couple nights a week, whatever it may be. I like to think that the healthy lifestyle I live allows us to have that 20% of indulging in things that we love. So I think that's important.
You talked in the earlier segment about, you know, talking to the players a lot about, you know, the challenges of this time in self-quarantining and isolation. Has diet come up? I know for myself, I don't know, Nate, Carter, about you guys, like, I'm snacking like a mad person. Like, I just am like, oh, like, I'm going to go grab a snack, or I need a snack now. Are any of the players dealing with that as well?
I'm 80-20 the opposite way, Joey.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me know. I mean, we have a great nutritionist, Diane Robeson, on staff that I can connect you with. And to follow that up, usually our performance medical staff, we have athletic trainers, physical therapists, massage therapist, strength conditioning coach, and dietitian. And I would say the dietitian kind of always ends up being lent to be in her own little island a little bit, just because her expertise is so unique. And so as much as I've contacted all the players and had individual meetings with them, I also had her follow up with all the individual players and have meetings with them and also their significant others. And part of it is just trying to initiate the conversation of what you just said is we're all a lot more sedentary than we normally are. We're sitting around more. You're having to cook more, which no one probably likes. So then you end up eating not as clean as maybe you would like. And so we've actually provided a lot of opportunities for our guys for different meal programs in Kansas City. And so basically finding different companies that will deliver meals to the guy's house, deliver groceries to their house, If those are options that they like, if not, do they want help with different recipes that they can make? And just giving them ideas and advice from that standpoint. And then the one thing, I guess back to what you had said earlier, Nate, is what are we tracking? What are we recording? Is we have the guys report their body weight to us twice a week. And that's a really important thing for us, is just a easy insight into where they're at physically. If a guy's gaining 10 pounds, hold up. All attention goes to him. You know, so yeah. We're missing something. But that's just like as simple as it seems, it's a very useful tool. And Diane actually handles that portion, so she does a great job with that.
There's no scale in my house, so I'm blissfully unaware. I would weigh myself when I go to the gym. Random. Like, you know, that's what I would try to do. Like once a week, weigh myself at the gyms, make sure I haven't put on 10 pounds. And I'm like, don't know.
Yeah.
And since exactly. I'm wearing nothing but pajamas and gym shorts these days, I also don't even know if my jeans are getting too tight. So this could be dangerous.
Yeah, nor do you want to know.
No.
No, yeah, I don't want to know. How long have you been in KC now, Joey? And kind of what was that like coming over to work for Sporting KC, and how do you like the city?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I moved out here January 2016. And it was, as with anyone in any sports-related role, you know, whether it's, you know, broadcasting, working with the team on a day-to-day basis, I feel like whenever an opportunity comes, you jump at it and you take it right away, you know? And so that was kind of the situation for me. I was working for a standalone USL club in Phoenix in 2015 as their head strength conditioning coach, and got the notification that for my former boss that we basically were looking for an academy fitness coach. And that was in November 2015. So I moved out here January 2016, and I got married there shortly after. I was engaged when I moved out here. My wife joined me in May of 2016, and Kansas City's kind of grown fond in our hearts. We've pretty much lived in the Overland Park area the whole time, but you know, I always tell people who ask from the outside, you know, what is Kansas City? I always just picture the Wizard of Oz, you know, Kansas, cornfields. And it's like, honestly, it couldn't be further from the truth. It's just a small, big town, you know, and I think it's a little bit of a secret. So hopefully we can keep it that way. Great sports fans, great barbecue. Yeah, just lots of cool places in the town.
And a great soccer team as well.
Great soccer team.
Yeah. Hey, Joey, thanks so much for the time, man. We really appreciate it. Keep those guys in shape, and hopefully we'll be doing real soccer stuff here before we know it.
I hope so. Appreciate your time, guys.
All right. That's All right, Joey
thanks,
Hardy.
Thanks, Joey.
And that's going to do it for us on this another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. We will see you again next week. We're going to keep this thing rolling with our Zoom video conferences, and you can listen to it on the podcast and on Sports Radio 810 WHB as well. We'll see you next week.